Matthew chapter 26, if you have your Bibles, hope you do. And we're going on to lesson number 11 now in our series on Peter and speaking about the education of a disciple. The education of a disciple. And today's lesson is on forbearance. We'll come to that in just a moment. I'm going to make just one announcement, and I will be very careful to keep this container sealed because if I were to eat one of these right now, it would be really difficult because it's caramel, and that would really prevent my speaking. And so we're selling these here at Anchor Baptist Church. It's a Purdy's chocolate, milk chocolate, Himalayan, pink salt caramels. Wow. A little salt, a little sweet. To me, that's just the cat's meow. And so they're $5 each. It's premium. It's Purdy's, right? But here's the blessing in all of this. The entire $5 will be going to help the RU ministry. We didn't have to pay for the chocolates. We had points built up from selling chocolate over the years. And they're changing their point program. And so we needed to use them or lose them. And so we ordered enough to sell. And if we sell them all, I don't think it's if. It's going to be a matter of when because they're flying out of here. If you want to get some, let me know quick. But in all seriousness, it will earn $400 will be earned for the RU ministry. That'll be applied directly to that. And so these chocolates are available until I run out. And so we have some here at the office if you want to come by and get some. Or we have some elsewhere, and that was explained in the email. And you can let me know about that. We can help you with that as well. So, a lesson on forbearance. Let's pray, and we'll jump into this lesson. Heavenly Father, thank you for the service thus far. Thank you so much that salvation is secure in Christ. And we are rejoicing in that once again today. And Lord, I pray that in this hour you'd help us in this theme of forbearance as we seek to be the disciple that you saved us to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 47. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves, and from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, him hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, hail, master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, friend, isn't that something? Wherefore art thou come? Obviously, he knew why he was there. But then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them, and we know this is Peter from other passages of Scripture, which we'll look at, which were with Jesus, stretched out his hand, drew his sword, and struck a servant of the high priest, and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the Scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? And we know, again, from another passage of Scripture that Jesus healed this man as well. So we're going to come to that passage in more detail in just a moment. But today our lesson, as we've said a few times now, is a lesson on forbearance. Another word that we could use possibly with that is the word patience. The word patience. And I would say that all of us are guilty of when situations come into our life, we are prone to react to those situations. There's a difference between reacting in the flesh or acting in the spirit. Here we see Peter in this verse of Scripture, this passage of Scripture, he reacts to a situation. And again, I'm not saying that you or I would not have reacted the same way. And again, it probably came from a good motive. Much of Peter's journey thus far could have been pointed back to a good motive. But we see here that it was of the Lord. It was of our sovereign God's plan that that Jesus Christ would end up being crucified. And so that's why he responds that way. We must remember in our life, one of the attributes that God wants us to have in our life is this idea of being long-suffering. Being long-suffering. What does that mean? It means slow to wrath and also patient. And this is where we think of with the idea of forbearance. Now, the greatest example of everything that we talk about is always the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we consider this, let me read just a few verses of Scripture to you. Psalm 86:15 says, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering," means slow to wrath, "plenteous in mercy and truth." James 1:19-20, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak," and here it is, "slow to wrath, long-suffering, forbearing." 2 Timothy 2:24, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, and patient." And so we're going to look at this event leading up to, we're getting very close to the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, but here's an event just after the prayer meeting that takes place in the Garden of Gethsemane. Number one, let's see by way of outline. Number one, the betrayal. The betrayal. Jesus had foretold that he would be betrayed. This was not something that should have been shocking to the disciples, and quite possibly it wasn't. We can read that, we won't, but we could read that in Matthew 26, 20 to 25. He had already told them that someone was going to betray him. And they begin to ask, "Is it I? Is it I? Is it I?" And he said, "The one that dips with me," in verse number 23, "he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me." And again, we know that individual was Judas Iscariot. Think about the betrayal of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we know that it had to happen because we're now looking back into the Scriptures. But let's put ourselves in that situation. Let's put ourselves in the garden. Let's even put ourselves in the upper room, and Jesus is telling them this is going to happen, and possibly the question marks, and possibly the uncertainty of the hour, and all that would have come into that. Again, we have the privilege of looking back to the Bible and seeing all that God did and how it all played out, and we know that it had to play out, right? Without the Lord Jesus' sacrifice, we would have no hope for heaven, and so we're glad for that. But getting to that, this betrayal would be the darkest time. Think of it. The Son of God, sinless, pure, holy, righteous, again, full of compassion, and all that there was, a miracle worker, seeking and saving those that are lost, and all that he did. And he is allowing this betrayal to come. Why? Because of your sin and mine. The betrayal, the darkest hour in human history. But remember, this was something that Jesus willingly allowed to take place. Let's be reminded of what he told Peter. Look at verse 53. "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" This is where the song comes from. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free, but he died alone. For you and me, he says, "Peter, don't you know? I mean, you're swinging your sword around, cutting ears off. Maybe he meant to cut the guy's head off, and he missed. Who knows?" And Peter, I don't need your sword. If I wanted this to stop, I could. But again, our Savior is very forbearing. He had you in mind. He had me in mind. And most importantly, what did he have in mind? The will of his Father. He had just got through saying, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." You know, we will be the disciple that God wants us to be. We're going to look at all these different things. We're almost done with this series. The bottom line is this, though. To be the disciple that God wants us to be, it is a conscious decision of the will from the heart that we want God's will and not our own. And when we want God's will to be done, we will be the disciple. We will be forbearing. We will be patient. We will be long-suffering. And as Brother Duane said earlier, we will have that heart of charity no matter what comes. And I need that great reminder as well. Other people in the Bible have gone through betrayals. I was reminded of David. Remember King David and the event that takes place with Shimei and all of that and calling him names, and even his own son Absalom rebelled against him. And so to be betrayed, I don't know, maybe you have something of a testimony in somewhere of your life. Well, it doesn't match what we just read about in the betrayal of the Lord Jesus Christ. Letter A is the kiss of Judas. The kiss of Judas. Now, a kiss typically is tenderness. A kiss is typically love, as we just read. Again, it's affection. You know, we don't normally think in general. I mean, we know this, but it typically means anything but what Judas was doing. I've told you this before. I remember as a child, my grandmother wanting to kiss me whenever we would go visit her. And she's been with the Lord many years. Both of my grandmothers have been. And I don't know how old she was when she lost all of her teeth, but she lost all of her teeth. And so she got those, those inserts, dentures. Thank you. I don't know. Maybe they have another fancier name for them today. I remember going in her washroom, and I remember going in there, and you know, using the washroom and all that. But then on the counter, maybe you've seen this before, on the counter was a plastic container with this cleaning solution. I know this now. I had no idea what it was then. But this cleaning solution, and inside that little clear, you could see right through it, was a set of chompers. I'm like, what? I mean, I'm talking about seven, eight, nine years old, somewhere in there, and there's teeth in there. And I don't really remember the first time, but I remember it. I mean, she used to joke when I got to be an adult and still do that to me. And she would just take her teeth out, and it would be all gums coming at you for that big smooch. And you could imagine that. Maybe I shouldn't have you imagine that. But it wasn't a betrayal. It was, she loved me, and I loved her. Still do. So a kiss doesn't normally come in the sense of the way Judas gave it. But it was an identifier. He had told them, it's night. I mean, maybe that was part of it. There were many other people there. Jesus typically had people around him. You know, he usually had the disciples, if not Peter, James, and John, typically. And then many times there was a crowd of people. And, of course, there was going to be potentially that. And so it was a kiss of identification. It was a kiss of betrayal. Proverbs 27, verse 6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The kiss of Judas. Then letter B, even in the betrayal of someone who Jesus had invested in, that being Judas Iscariot, we still see, letter B, the kindness of Jesus. The kindness of Jesus. We emphasized it a moment ago when we read verse number 50. When Jesus, knowing why Judas was there, knowing what the kiss represented, knowing what was to follow, and yet he still refers to him with the word friend. The word friend. Here's something that it's not original with me, so quotes around it, but I've never thought about it quite like this before. How Jesus felt about Judas did not depend on how Judas felt about Jesus. How Jesus felt about Judas did not depend on how Judas felt about Jesus. Think about that. That's really love. Love isn't waiting for it to be returned. I believe wholeheartedly Jesus Christ loved his betrayer. He loved Judas. He loved him and wanted him. Maybe he was, I don't know the purpose of all of it, calling him a friend and all that. Of course, it speaks to us today. I mean, there are definitely people in your life and mine that we would say possibly don't really care much about us, but that doesn't give us the right to not care about them. If we're going to be forbearing, then we've got to take a page out of the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even though someone may not really care about us, we need to have the tenderness of God in return to them. Here's the thing that we have to learn. My response in times of attack reveal my character. Did you hear that? Your response in times of attack, okay? I'm not talking about, World War III. I'm talking about we are all under attack all the time, okay? And that could be within our home, okay? Relationship struggles and things like that. It could be at work. It doesn't matter where it happens. There are times in your life, I know you're already seated, but just get ready. You will be wronged repeatedly. Things will happen to you repeatedly that are offensive. It's going to happen. The Bible says it of itself. It says it. Beware, offenses will come. And so what is revealing about your character and my character is when those come. I mean, this is a moment that would never happen again like this. And Jesus shows us, instead of reacting like Peter and taking out his sword, Jesus says, hello, friend. I mean, wow. When I think about that, I think that's impossible. And you know what? It is impossible in the flesh. But it is possible if we're following the Holy Spirit of God, that even when we're wronged, we can forbear and respond in kindness. Paul told that to the church at Ephesians, the church at Ephesus. Quickly turn over to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Here's what the Apostle Paul told the church at Ephesus regarding one another. Regarding one another. Look what he said. Verse 1, chapter 4. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. It means I beg of you. I implore you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, here it is, forbearing one another in love. What is this endeavoring? To keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, okay? Verse 2, though, forbearing one another in love. It means to bear with one another. It means to hold one another up. It means to be kind to one another. Here, church, in Anchor Baptist Church, this challenge is not just for Ephesus, it's for Burnaby. It's for New Westminster. It's for Anchor Baptist Church. It's for whatever church you're a part of. Maybe you've joined us today from another part of Canada or United States or somewhere around the world. We as God's children need to be growing in grace as a disciple in this area of forbearing, bearing with one another. I just can't take it anymore. That fellow, that lady. No. Long-suffering. Forbearing. Again, the Son of God is betrayed by His own creation. And yet He forbears. He calls Him His friend. And so we see the kiss of Judas and we see the friendship, the kindness of the Savior. That's the betrayal. Number two is the battle. The battle. Okay? And so the kiss happens and Peter decides to take a stand. Let's go to John 18, John's Gospel, chapter 18. And so Judas steps forward. Now, this is someone who Peter obviously spent time with. This is someone who Peter knew. This was not a stranger to Peter in the sense of Judas. And so now ensues the battle. And Peter, rightfully so, Peter takes a stand. I think it's good to take a stand for the Lord. I think it's good to stand for His word. We're told to stand for the Lord. The Apostle Paul's writing talks about that, having done all to stand and to withstand and all of that. But again, at the right time and with the right motive and for the right reasons, a lot of that is where we need to be led by the Spirit of God. This wasn't the right time for a fight to break out or a battle, but that's what we see. There's a battle. Letter A is the sword of Peter. Look at verse number 10 of John 18. Then Simon Peter, Here's how we know it was Simon Peter. This is the same account from earlier. Having a sword, drew it, and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. We get a little more information. His name was Malchus. And so here we see Peter decided to stand for the Lord, draws his sword, swings at the head of the high priest. I don't think Peter was, and I'm not trying to be crude here, but I don't think Peter was aiming for the ear. Okay? It's not like Peter was, you know, precision slicing here, all right? And again, I'm not trying to be crude. I just think Peter was wildly aiming. Again, as we've seen the countenance of Peter or the conduct of Peter and just kind of how he is. And obviously, God allowed the sword only to take off the ear. But here, let's keep reading. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? This is the same cup that he was talking about in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he said, not my will, but thine be done. Peter had a lapse, though. Peter had a lapse of memory. Part of the preaching of the Lord Jesus in what we call the Sermon on the Mount. You know, I'm guilty of this. You're guilty of this. You know, we get sermons and we hear Sunday school lessons and so forth. And many times we forget about what we heard or we forget about what we were taught. And that's exactly what happened even to Peter. Part of the Sermon on the Mount, I'm not going to have you turn there, but here I want to read it to you in Matthew 5:38. It says, ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. What does this mean? This means that what Peter should have done was he shouldn't have pulled out his sword. He shouldn't have taken aim at Malchus's head. He shouldn't have done what he did. And Jesus is saying here in Matthew 5 to you and to me today that when somebody attacks us, it doesn't always mean that we're supposed to attack back. You know, we've heard this said before, I don't get mad, I get even. That's not in the Bible. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So we've got to let God fight our battles. Again, this doesn't mean that there's not a time to stand, but what it means is here that there is a time for it and there's a time not for it, and most of the time God's going to lead us to turn the other cheek in the way of forbearing, in a way of forgiveness, in a way of kindness. So we see the sword of Peter. Then we see the sympathy of Jesus. Again, this is incredible. Turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 22. Luke's Gospel, chapter 22. Talking about forbearance. Again, it's easy in the moment to just speak up. Somebody who is a disciple, who is filled with the Spirit, who wants to do the will of God, doesn't always just speak up. Forbearance says, bite your tongue. Forbearance says, in the heat of the moment, pray and ask God for help. Forbearance says, I don't have to fight. I can let God fight for me. Forbearance is kindness to the enemy, to our enemy. Again, this is not something that is easy to do. This isn't something that I would even say I enjoy doing. But it's something that we need to do as a disciple of Christ. Be willing to forbear. Look at chapter 22, verse 51. And we see the sympathy of Jesus. And Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far. Same story, same event, more information. Notice, and he touched his ear and healed him. He touched his ear and healed him. Not only did Jesus say, okay, let's go, let's fight. He picks up that ear off the ground, I guess, and puts it back on, and heals him. There was no fight. He was completely surrendered to what was coming. He was forbearing. Turn with me in the Old Testament. I mentioned it a moment ago. Go into 2 Samuel chapter number 16. And I want you to see something. Maybe you've not read this before. Maybe you have. But it definitely is applicable to the lesson today on forbearance. David is on his way out of Jerusalem. And David is approached by a man by the name of Shimei. 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse number 5. And when David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of who? Saul. Saul's kin. Obviously a little bitter, right? Because David is the king. Whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth, and notice, and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David, and at all the servants, and all the people, and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. Thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, thou man of Belial. And he goes in verse number 8 and refers to Absalom and how Absalom is rebelled. And he's just really attacking the king. In verse 9, then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee. And he wasn't going to go for the ear. Take off his head. And verse 11, David said to Abishai and all his servants, behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone. Let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. Verse 14, and the king and all the people that were with him came weary and refreshed themselves there. David could have said to Abishai, okay, go for it. And that would have been it. Shimei's yapping voice would have been silenced, just like that. But even David has the awareness in some way to look at this and say, God is allowing it. Just like God was allowing the kiss in the Garden of Gethsemane. God allowed this to happen. And David says, because of forbearance, he says, let him alone. God is going to handle this, and God is going to take care of it. Look at verse 12. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing. And that just takes us all the way to Romans 8:28, doesn't it? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Let him alone. Let him alone, Abishai, because God is in this, and God can bring forth good even out of the mouth of this cursing Shimei. Let him alone. And I would submit to you today that the opposition that comes our way, the opposition that comes in your life, the challenges that come in your life, it isn't that God wants to you and I to fight them head on. Sometimes he wants us to surrender, forbear, allow them to continue to do the work that God is intending to be done with them coming in to our life. Again, may we learn to not react. The flesh reacts. The flesh speaks back quickly. And those words that we just toss around sometimes, and we just wish we could rewind. Matthew 5:44, another part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, love your enemies. Bless them that what? Curse you. Wow. That's not easy. Of course it's not easy. The disciple life of Christ is not easy if you're going to try to do it in the nature of the old man. You will not curse your enemy in the nature if you're living in the flesh, right? But with the Holy Spirit, we can do that. With the Holy Spirit, we can forbear even when the attack is on. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Number one, the betrayal. The betrayal. The betrayal of a kiss. With that kiss came the kindness of the Lord Jesus Christ. What an example. Number two, the battle. The battle. The sword of Peter came out and took off the ear, but then we see the Savior's kindness, and we see the Savior bringing healing and the tenderness of the Lord. Even in the midst of this, He healed the man who was there as part of those that were betraying Him. Lastly, let's go to John 18. John 18, we see the binding. The binding. John 18 and verse number 12. John 18 and verse number 12. Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus, and notice, bound Him. They bound Him. And they led Him away to Annas first, for He was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that no man should die for the people. Here we see a fulfillment of an Old Testament type. Okay? Jesus is bound. Okay? Can you remember all the way back to the first book of the Bible? The book of Genesis, right? And you remember a man in the book of Genesis of great faith, of great faith. He was called Abram, and then his name would be called, changed to Abraham. You remember what Abraham was asked to do with regards to his son, Isaac? He was told by God, many of you know this, he was told by God to take him to Mount Moriah, and he was told to sacrifice his son and to kill his son and to offer his son as a sacrifice. His son being, I believe, strong enough to overcome Abraham if he wanted to. We're not talking about a six-year-old boy. I believe he would have been maybe a late teen, maybe even mid to late teen, or maybe even into his 20s. And strong, obviously strong in his youth at that time. His dad being old, getting a bit older. I'm quite sure that Isaac could have overcome his father. But the Bible tells us in its Genesis chapter number 22 that Isaac willingly allowed his father, Abraham, to bound him and place him on the altar. And that was a type. That was an Old Testament type of what was coming to the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. Who is the Lamb of God? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. What happens here in John chapter 18 was actually a fulfillment of what happened to Isaac in Genesis chapter 22. They both allowed themselves to be bound and then eventually placed upon an altar. Now, God would stop Abraham as he was about ready to take his son's life and say, what did he say? God has provided himself a lamb. And there was a ram caught in a thicket, and they brought that ram out and they sacrificed him. And so that's exactly the same picture that we see all the way here, right at the end of Jesus' earthly ministry, coming to the cross. He not only allowed himself to be bound, but eventually he would allow himself to be crucified for our sin, for your sin and mine. Letter A is the arrest of Jesus. The arrest of Jesus. We see him asking and commanding the weapons be put away. He allows himself to be arrested. And everyone now forsakes him. All the disciples forsook him and fled. Look at Matthew 26. Matthew 26, 56. Matthew 26, 56. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. The arrest of Jesus. Think about all that people have endured in standing for the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about people in our Bible that were persecuted for the Lord Jesus Christ and stood for Him. We've been reading about some of those, like the Apostle Paul, who was giving the persecution, but then eventually would be receiving the persecution. I want to just encourage you, and I want to challenge us today. Are we ready to carry out the will of the Lord regardless of the consequences? I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I'm thankful today that I know who holds tomorrow. And I know that whatever God's will is for your life and mine is best. And the will of God for the Savior right now is what we're seeing, the arrest of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then letter B, we see the ascent of Jesus. The ascent of Jesus. He had within Him the power. He had within Him the opportunity, if He chose, to finish and to stop all that was happening. But He did not resist. Because for Him to resist, He would be resisting the will of His Father. And in Luke 22:42, Jesus said, "Not my will, but thine be done." We believe this to be a quality of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He had all power, and yet it was under control. Remember the word that we use for that? Power under control? Meekness, right? Meekness. So meekness is not weakness, right? Meekness is power under control. This is an example of meekness. This is an example of forbearance. If we are going to be the disciple that God saved us to be, we're going to have to daily ask God to help us that day to forbear, to be patient. John chapter 8, the last verse I'd like to show you. John chapter 8. And I believe this ought to be our motto as we live the Christian life. I hope it's our motto. John chapter number 8, it was Jesus speaking. John chapter 8. And you know, what's it going to take to be a man of forbearance? What's it going to take to be a lady of forbearance? It's going to take dying to self. Okay? Again, if self is where you and I are at right now, I'm just living for me. I'm living for what I want. I'm living for my will. Then I'm going to guarantee you something. To forbear is an impossibility in that case. There's no way I'm going to forbear if I'm living for me. Because I'm just going to react every time that something comes into my life. And it might be that God, again, God being sovereign, God is trying to do something in me. He's trying to mold me like the potter molds the clay. And how can the clay say to the potter, "What are you doing?" And yet that's how we are sometimes. When we're living to please self, we're telling God, who's trying to do something, "God, what are you doing?" And God's saying, "I'm trying to make a vessel of honor out of you. Be quiet. I love you. Let me have my way in your life." As the hymn says, "Have thine own way. Have thine own way." John chapter 8, 29. Look what Jesus said. "And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." You see, that's our goal. That's why we want to be forbearing. Because forbearing pleases the Father. Forbearing shows God that we love Him. Forbearing not only shows God that we love Him, but then it shows others that we love them. And our love for God, as it grows, our love for one another will also grow. Now, you might be handling a heavy load today. All right? You might have a burden. You might have something that has come your way this week. There might be something coming that you don't know about. And this lesson is for you. This lesson is for you. This lesson is for you today that have a load on you right now. I want us collectively. In just a minute, I'm going to pray, and we're going to have a brief break and go into the next part of the service. But I want you to thank God today for the load. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God. And then let's ask God, and I'm talking to me, let's ask God to give us a heart of forbearance. He's worthy of that. Peter, put up your sword. I could dial up heaven right now and have a legion after legion after legion of angels. He said, no, go ahead. Let my disciples go. You can tie me up. Yield the ear. Tied up. Why? Because our Savior is the greatest example of forbearance, long-suffering.